This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
While Anne Frank, her family, and others hid from Nazis in a secret annex in World War II-occupied Amsterdam, the view of a giant chestnut tree near the building gave her not only an experience of hope, but also a connection to the world beyond their hiding place. Her famous diary includes a number of references to that chestnut tree, including this one from May 1944. Our chestnut tree is in full blossom. It is covered with leaves and is even more beautiful than last year. Not long after that entry, she and the others hiding with her were arrested and deported to concentration camps, where all but Anne's father met their deaths. The 150 to 100-year-old tree was felled by a storm on August 23rd in 2010, but saplings from the original tree had already been planted in an Amsterdam park and delivered to locations around the world. On September 27th, one of those saplings was planted in Montreal, where after World War II, the city welcomed the third largest proportion of Holocaust survivors in the world, after Israel and New York.
And we're joined on the phone today by Audrey Lykop, who is the media spokesperson at the Montreal Holocaust Memorial Center. Welcome to People First Radio, Audrey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to speak with you, too. Again, this time on air. Tell us about Anne's diary, the chestnut tree she wrote about, and the importance of remembering these things.
Yes, for everybody knows Anne Frank. So for us to have this tree here in Montreal, it's a symbol that everybody can notice and understand what it means for everybody, for the humanity. Anne Frank is a symbol, and she's a symbol of hope for us.
Now, Michael Weinberg helped found the Anne Frank Foundation in Canada about 12 years ago, and it was Michael who called the head of the International Anne Frank Foundation. He wrote a letter explaining why Montreal would be an ideal place for a sapling from the original tree to be planted. Tell us more about how that all came about and why Montreal.
Why Montreal? Michael, he's involved at the Anne Frank House since many years, and he's involved with us too. And he knew that Montreal is a city which welcomed the third proportion of Holocaust survivors after Second World War. So it means after the war, 9,000 people came in Canada and in Montreal, and we still have about 5,000 Holocaust survivors here in Montreal. So this is a very symbolic place for survivors and for the Holocaust story.
Tell us more about the mission and the work of the Montreal Holocaust Memorial Center.
So here at the Montreal Holocaust Memorial Center, we try to educate people about the peril of antisemitism and intolerance. We have an exhibition, and this exhibition is visited by a lot of people from Quebec and Canada, and schools too. We have also different activities for school, right now we are doing the Holocaust Education Series. It's 10 days of events everywhere in Montreal, and we invite people to come and to discuss, to meet Holocaust survivors, and to try to think about the importance of the history of the Holocaust today.
You're listening to People First Radio. On September 27th in Montreal, several Holocaust survivors and others gathered in the Holocaust Memorial Center's Peace Garden to witness the planting of a sapling from the chestnut tree that Anne Frank wrote about in her diary. The Diary of a Young Girl went on to become one of the most widely read books of all time. We're speaking with Audrey Lykop in Montreal.
Audrey, you were mentioning the education series that's happening at the Memorial Center. from October the 13th to 24th. It's called Memory, the Heart of Our Future. Tell us more about the initiative. And do you do this every year at this time?
Yes, this year it is 13 years that we organize this this series. And it's 10 days where we have movies. The exhibition of the museum is for free for everybody. And we have different people from the cultural scene of Montreal to speak about the Holocaust. Really, the goal of those 10 days is to reach Quebecois and to tell them that the Holocaust is their story too.
Audrey, were you at the tree planting ceremony when the sapling that came from Amsterdam was planted? What was it like? What was the ceremony like for you?
Oh, we had a lot of Holocaust survivors who came at this ceremony, and they were very touched. And we had also some representative of Montreal and the Quebec government, and I think they appreciate the symbol of hope which came in Montreal, and I hope this tree will help Quebecois to know better about us and the Holocaust.
We have just a moment left in our time today. I'm wondering, Audrey, if there's anything else you'd like to add to our conversation.
I think it's okay, and I would like to thank you for this interview and to appreciate my English. And I would like also to tell you that you have a wonderful education center in Vancouver, Holocaust Education Center in Vancouver, and they are doing also a wonderful job.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Audrey Leacock spoke with us from the Montreal Holocaust Memorial Center in Montreal. The center educates people of all ages and backgrounds about the Holocaust while sensitizing the public to the universal perils of anti-Semitism, racism, hate, and indifference. Through its museum, commemorative programs, and educational initiatives, the Montreal Holocaust Memorial Center promotes respect for diversity and the sanctity of human life. You can find them online at mhmc.ca. Otto Frank was the father of Anne and Margaret and Margot Frank. Otto was the only member of his family to survive the Holocaust. When he returned, Miep Gies, who was one of the people helping and hiding the family while they were in the annex, gave him his daughter's diary. She had it saved after the people in hiding had been arrested. After reading it, Otto Frank decided to publish the diary. We close out our program with audio from one of the few television interviews Otto Frank gave. Sitting in one of the rooms of the secret annex, he is talking about the things Anne Frank wrote in her diary. It was broadcast on December 24th, 1967, on a television program called The Legacy of Anne Frank.
I knew that Anna wrote a diary. She spoke about her diary. She left her diary with me at night in a briefcase next to my bed. I had promised her never to look in. I never did. When I returned, and after I had the news that my children would not come back, Miep gave me the diary, which had been saved by, I should say, a miracle. It took me a very long time to read it. And I must say, I was very much surprised about deep thoughts Anna had, her seriousness, especially her self-criticism. It was quite a different Anna I had known as my daughter. She never really showed this kind of inner feeling. She talked about many things, we criticized many things, but what really their feelings were, I only could see from the diary. And my conclusion is, as I had been in very, very good terms with Anna, that most parents don't know really their children. And so I know, too, that in reading the diary, parents and teachers will learn a lot. To build up a future, you have to know the past. You see, I'm pretty old now, but I am not a bitter man. Young people write to me, asking questions. Many are writing a diary themselves, calling their diary Anna's diary. They write to Anna as Anna wrote to Kitty. And so, especially in the time of adolescence, they get a lot of confidence and hope for their lives in reading about Anna and her experiences.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.